Hello, Alex.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Lovely to see you. Alex bought me a little present, and I'm sitting on it right now.
Mm. It's made, much taller.
Yes, I've gone up in the world. I've literally gone up in the world, thanks to a wedge-shaped cushion, which we talked about last time you were here, didn't we?
We did, and they're very simple, but the theory is that it's portable. Mm. And if you hot desk, as you do, sometimes you're in here and perhaps sometimes you're in the office, rather than making sure that you've got the correct chair and everything set up suitably, you can sort of just move it around with you. Mm. They don't work very well in cars and they don't work very well on settees, but the more simple the seat, the better they are. So say if you went to a meeting, you were on a stacking chair, you know, those sort of gilded chairs or whatever, and they're so flat, then really not a great posture. Right. But put your little wedge on and there you go. And cinema seats and theatre seats and things like that, you know, when they're very flat and they tip backwards, again, a lot of strain on the lower back there. So putting the wedge in there and filling that gap a little bit gives you a bit of height so you can see a bit further to the front of the stage as well, which is even better.
I'm liking it so far. Nodding at you was Philip K. Joyce, who's here, musician. I'm thinking, what am I saying? I knew I was going to get your name wrong. Paul.
It's the Philip K. Dick thing that's throwing you, I think, really. It's the sci-fi thing.
I blame the K in the middle.
It's the sparkly suit I'm wearing.
Yeah. So let's start that bit again. Paul K. Joyce is here. And yes, the thing I wonder about you in your life is that you will spend hours sitting at a keyboard, will you not? And
you've hit the nail on the head. Mm. Because recently I bought a thing that will hold my computer screen at a height so that I can sit with my back straight and look directly ahead at it. I had a massage and I know this is radio and you can't see it, but he did an impression of the person he thought I was because of the way my neck and back muscles were. And it was sort of like this praying mantis hanging over, you know, with shoulders hunched and everything. But it was true. Computers are a very bad thing for posture.
Yeah. I wonder if in the fullness of time when they incorporate computers into glasses, so we won't have to sit, it'll just be projected in front of our eyes. That may be the answer.
What a bleak future.
It is, and you don't wear glasses either, so you're...
you're there double. You are. Yeah.
Me and Alex will be all right with our double glazing. And what part does music play in your world, Alex? Do you use music for relaxation? Do you have favourite tunes, or you just...
Yes, I do. I mean, I can vouch that I do have a grade 8 piano 40. So, but that was an awful long time ago. You see, let that one out the bag.
Still got
there.
It.
Yeah, I've still got it. But I did close the book when I was 17 and a half to say actually I needed to study rather than play music, because by the time you get to that level, actually, practicing is paramount, and unless you're sort of doing an hour or so a day, you cannot keep up the momentum there. So unfortunately, did close the book. Do have a piano, very rarely gets. It's more of a family icon rather than an instrument. Yes, so I do have a joy of particularly classical music, and I do listen to Classic FM for my sins, and then a bit of pop, but. And then we have a bit of row going on at the clinic as background noise. But, yeah, other than that...
a bit of row.
Yeah, but it can be, can't it?
Get everybody in the right mood.
Yeah. It's just to sort of break the monotonous of noise out a little bit. But
your story is, I'm sure, familiar to many, that idea of taking piano lessons or music lessons, and you get to the point where, actually, it's just you haven't quite got the to keep on going. But you obviously, Paul, did keep going.
Did you
have to make a conscious decision? Can you remember back to your
late teens? Well, I didn't have that formal education really in music, and I had to push after I've got a degree in biology, and sort of after all that and trying to work as a professional in the music business, I thought I've got to have a proper qualification. So I had a local piano teacher and in my 20s and 30s, and got my grade 8. But Alex is right, you just have to keep practicing. Because your fingers, you know, they need to be... Actually, it's probably a good... wards off arthritis and all sorts of conditions. Mm. And then there's that element of, I don't know, the satisfaction of learning something and being able to play it. Although, interestingly, I would have thought that as you got older that performing in front of people would become easier because you're maturer, you're wiser. It doesn't.
No?
No.
You still find
it's
it a bit of a...
terrible.
Right.
Terrible. Nerves and you just have a... you can perceive that more can go wrong, I think, really.
You're more critical, aren't you? I think you're more critical
Definitely.
Of yourself and the expectations of yourself.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't view the world in quite the same way, but then I'm not a performer in quite the same way that you are. I think as I've got older, I've realised that there's a lot of people worse than me. It's a terribly arrogant thing to say, I know, but just, you know, you must have seen this, Paul. You must have seen terrible musicians in your time doing shows as if they were good.
Well, certainly you look at people and you think, crikey.
Name names.
Well, they were lucky.
Does that not give you a bit of hope? You'll never be as bad as them.
Name names, Bananarama. I won't do that.
Okay.
So, I might like Bananarama, Alex. Sorry.
You're not a Bananarama fan.
Who are they? I'll play safe.
She's only got the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra do Bananarama's greatest hits. Yeah. And obviously that's a very different musical approach. Look, we need to talk about Goose Fair in a moment, and we'll do that on BBC Radio Nottingham after a quick reminder of the playback tune, which is this. And so it's this song that I'm wondering if you can identify from the playback. Les from Cotton Hayes got it right. Kelly thought it could be Eric Clapton's Layla. It's not. Jules in Shelford has the right band, but the wrong title. Jules says, Heaven's on the backseat of my Cadillac, in our minds at the moment. That's thanks to Paul K. Joyce, writer of the Bob the Builder theme tune, and involved in all sorts of different musical endeavours over the years. Now Celestial, which sounds like an amazing show, coming to the Metronome on the 15th of November. And it's prompted this sort of thing about singing, because I don't know why I felt as though I should sing in front of a professional musician, Alex, because I can't sing. But he made me do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he asked you while the record was on, do you sing? And you're a bit like me, I think. It's a sort of, well, I can't sing, but I do sing. Is how
everyone
I,
can sing.
Do you think?
Everyone needs to sing in the car. When nobody else is listening. It's okay.
As an expression of you, everyone has a voice.
There is a theory that it can make you feel a whole lot better, just the physicality of it, but also if you're in a choir, then meeting other people. And, of course, the BBC Radio Nottingham Big Sing is happening on the 10th of November, and it's going to be at the Royal Concert Hall, and that's Mark Dennison's Big Sing. And it's going to be a concert of choirs from across the county who have been in to sing for Mark. They'll share their unique sound and the stories behind why they sing together. It's £5. You can get tickets by going to the box office at the Royal Concert Hall or online, tlch.co.uk. And it is raising money for children in need. So Mark and Pudsey and a load of enthusiastic singers for a fantastic sing-song on Sunday the 10th of November. Meanwhile, before we get there, we've got another big event in the Nottinghamshire calendar, Goose Fair. So you were a Nottingham lad living in Sherwood. Was it the bane of your life, Goose Fair? You couldn't move on the street?
No, it was brilliant.
Jammed up with traffic and late-night revelers?
No, mushy peas and mint sauce and, well, risky venture on the Dodgems afterwards.
Yeah.
But, no, Goose Fair is incredible. Mm. Incredible. I haven't been for a few years because when my visits up to my family synchronise, but I love Goose Fair. Mm.
Alex, does it play a big part in your life?
No, I've only ever been once, I think. Yes,
what?
I've missed out. Well, I don't really sort of live this way, so yes. So, but no, usually the local fair I quite like. But I remember going as a child with a friend.
The local fair, during the Beeston Town Fair.
No. Well, I used to live out at Castle Donington, so they always had a fair. And live at Loughborough, so there's a Loughborough fair there.
Okay.
So, more for the children, isn't it, now? But, fair as a child, but only ever once to Goose Fair, I think.
But surely you thought Goose Fair is totally different to everything else. It's bigger, it's open, it's got
not
mushy
very
peas.
Old, yeah, when I went. But okay. The one in Castle Donington Village was plenty, really. So, sorry.
Well.
I've blown your firework out there. Sorry.
This is a drop the mic, but nobody ever comes on Radio Nottingham and says, well, Goose Fair, take it or leave it.
You have to
be massively enthusiastic
of course.
About it. Yes, like Paul was. The thing about Goose Fair, I used to think when I went to it was a good way of finding out what the current musical sort of choice was. And going in the early 90s, it was all this high-speed electronic rave.
Yeah.
Which was all the rage. And I thought, well, this is a good way of reading the runes of music. Fairs have changed. I think if you go now, it's classics. It's sort of glam rock and roll and things like that.
Well, retro is enormous now. Mm. I'm amazed that... I mean, there's that expression, there's nothing new under the sun. And we were talking earlier about the longevity of bands, you know, like the Stones and what have you, that this ability, and I quite like it in a way, because it's not throwing away what has come before musically and allowing us to appreciate again, you know, classic albums, let's say from the 70s or 80s.
So on that, it's an interesting thing that's with the streaming music services now, whereas you might have sort of thought of an album that you'd heard 30 years ago, and, well, actually, I'm not going to go and buy that because I only want to hear it once more. Just take me back to my... Now, with streaming services, you can easily access all this music from years ago, and just if you just want to hear it one more time, you don't feel like you've spent a lot of money on it. Favourite rides at Goose Fair? Were you a sort of Dodgems person, or roller coaster, or Hooker Duck? Or...
I'm afraid the Dodgems played a remarkable trick on my stomach and inner ear. So I do remember this ride where you would sit with your back to a big round drum, and so you faced people opposite you, and it would spin up in the air and pin you to the back. That was amazing.
There was was it a big, very big circular
massive
thing?
So that was massive.
Was that the rotor? I think it was.
I don't know the name.
The thing that held you against the wall fell away, and it was only centrifugal force that kept you from,
sorry, I'm having flashbacks
yeah,
now.
From dropping to your death. And then somebody explained to you that there's no such thing as centrifugal force. And then it became very worrying.
But there is.
What, such a thing as centrifugal
there
force?
There is.
Do you think? I might have to have a discussion about centripetal acceleration with you.
Oh, okay. Taxi.
Alex! Save us from this. We've suddenly got into a weird world of physics and fairgrounds there.
Yeah, okay. I know. I remember when I was at Castle Donington Fair when I was, that was when that first came out, and my brother said to me, let's go on that, and it pins you against the side, and people used to hoik themselves up a little higher within so that they were actually higher than everybody else and their feet were way off the ground, because we had to stand on ours, the one that we had, you had to stand against it, and they sort of barricaded you in, and then they all just sort of plop off at the end when the centrifugal force was no longer there. You could see them all falling off the top of this washing machine drum, for want of a better word.
Well, you only have to take a look at the fairground rides being constructed, and some of them do go up very high, some of them do spin you around quite quickly, and Alex is going to give you some good advice after 3 o'clock, staying in one piece when you visit the Goose Fair or other fairs around this time of year. Paul K. George, thank you so much for being here. Brilliant to see
you
again.
It's been my pleasure, Alan.
And
thank
we'll
you.
We'll see you on the 15th of November.
Yeah, 15th of November.
Metronome for Celestial.
7:30.
Should be an amazing night. And this was the answer to Playback, which most of you got. I think Kelly got it, and Shelley and Strelly got it, and Mitch in Sherwood, and Jules in Shelford did get it eventually, as did Les from Copenhagen. Yeah. Plenty of entertainment on BBC Radio Nottingham. You'll hear more from Alex Newton, the chiropractor, and how to stay safe if you're getting involved in a bit of goose fairing.